This is Construction Business Mastery, episode number 4. In the fast-paced, high-tech world of construction today, 80% of the new start construction companies go broke or out of business within the first year. In 5 years, only 2% of the construction companies remain. Construction Business Mastery is dedicated to providing educational information and resources necessary for construction companies to succeed and prosper. Hello, this is Glenn Wilson, and I'll be your host for this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. This is our fourth podcast in a series of podcasts that are dedicated to assisting independent and medium-sized contractors succeed and prosper in the construction industry. In our feature segment, we are going to continue to look at going back to the basics. And in this episode, we're going to be looking at two things that are fundamentally critical in setting up your construction company. In our legal section, we are going to be looking at a very interesting case involving holdings, subcontractors, and suppliers to their price quotations. And in our safety section, we are going to be looking at the results of OSHA cracking down on unsafe work conditions in trench excavations. In our construction quick tip, we will be providing two resources that will assist you in getting back to the basics. I think you will find all of these segments very interesting and helpful. Hello and welcome to our feature segment of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. Well, another month has gone by, and we're not seeing much improvement in the economic climate for construction. According to a recent MSN poll that I just read, the two areas that have been hardest hit as far as unemployment are carpenters and architects. Lumped into the carpenters class are things like project managers, superintendents, and generally most of the general contractor tradespeople, and we all know about the architects. Both of these statistics are very concerning due to their implications to the health of the construction or general construction industry. Of particular concern is the high rate of unemployment among architects, in that if they're not currently planning projects and designing projects that'll be coming out for bid, then we're in for a longer recovery period. With that in mind, it's probably a good time to really get back to the basics. One of the areas that I find lacking in a lot of new start construction companies is the planning they do up front as far as protecting themselves in the very litigious and high-risk environment that we find ourselves in as contractors. I think it's very important to consider the legal structure of your construction company up front. And if you haven't already done so, you need to look at either incorporating or forming an LLC, a limited liability company, to protect your personal assets in these uncertain times. Anyone that is currently operating as a sole proprietorship or a partnership is at risk of losing their personal assets if their business fails due to the economy or other risk factors that are involved in our industry. I consider this one of the primary basics of your startup or ongoing operation. Once you have the proper vehicle or legal entity in place, it is important to have a good accounting system that provides both general ledger and job cost functionality. I highly recommend that a system be implemented that is on a computer-based system. Trying to keep track of accounting functions by hand is way too time-consuming and inefficient. Computers are one of the best tools that we have as contractors at our disposal today. And if you as a contractor are not fully computer literate, then you won't make it into the next decade. an accounting system that I highly recommend for independent and medium-sized contractors, is QuickBooks for Contractors. It is a PC or Mac-based system that includes all of the basic modules necessary for running a construction company. They include a general ledger system, accounts receivable, very important, accounts payable, payroll, and also includes a job cost module for tracking your job cost. The system is fairly intuitive and very easy to learn, and there are additional modules from other vendors out there for doing things like AIA billings and certified payrolls. There are other accounting systems out there available, including offerings from Microsoft and Peachtree, but I don't believe these have all of the systems in place for managing a construction company. These are two primary elements that are critical to the success of a construction company operating in today's environment. Welcome to the legal section of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. One of the most hectic times a contractor faces is when he's putting together a bid that has to be turned in by a specific time, and usually all of his sub-bids and or material prices come in at the very last minute. He must compile all of this information and submit his bid on a timely basis. I know we have all experienced situations where either sub-bids or material suppliers did not want to honor their quotations. The ability to enforce a pre-bid price proposal after contract award is derived from the doctrine of promissory estoppel. If there is a clear, unequivocal promise which the contractor reasonably and foreseeably relies upon when preparing its bid, then the contractor can enforce the price quotation. The Alaska Supreme Court stated this principle in the practical context of construction contracting. It is industry custom for subcontractors to submit bids at the last minute. This trade practice has evolved because of the industry demands for firm current prices. The custom is facilitated by the case with which a bid can be placed without the formalities of contract. However, if a contractor is to deliver a set price to an owner, these bids must be binding for a reasonable time. In order for a subcontractor's price quotation or material price quotation to be enforceable, however, every element of promissory estoppel must be present. These are multiple opportunities for a contractor to render a subcontractor's proposal unenforceable. There must be a clear quotation. Some jurisdictions require that that be in writing. Even if this is not the case, a contractor would be wise to have documentary evidence such as an email or facsimile. If nothing was received from the subcontractor, a confirming responsive message from the contractor will usually suffice. There must be an unequivocal quotation. If a prospective sub or supplier has taken exception to work requirements, made its price contingent upon certain occurrences, or otherwise qualified the quotation, it is not an unequivocal promise. The contractor should ask the sub to restate its proposal. There must be foreseeable reliance. A contractor should notify a subcontractor or materials supplier prior to bid submittal that it intends to include the sub's price in its bid. This will preclude a subcontractor, or more likely a supplier, from later contending it was unaware of the intended use of its quotation. There must be reasonable reliance. Again, if the subcontractor's quotation was equivocal, the contractor's reliance will not be reasonable. Reliance must also be prompt. It is not reasonable to wait weeks after a contract award to attempt for the first time to enforce a price quotation. There must be actual reliance. If after contract award, a contractor shops the bids of subs or suppliers, which commonly occurs, seeking a lower price, this undercuts any contention by the contractor that it relied on the price quotation during bid preparation. Summarily, if a contractor tries to negotiate a better deal with the subcontractor or imposes erroneous, unconventional legal terms on the sub, it will not appear that the contractor truly relied on the quote. The doctrine of promissory estoppel, as it is applied to the construction contracting business, is rather one-sided. A contractor is seeking to hold a subcontractor or materials supplier to its price quotation. Yet, the contractor has made no binding commitment to the sub or supplier. For this reason, courts will insist on proof of every element of the doctrine before enforcing a quotation against a sub. A contractor's own course of conduct will largely determine whether the contractor can meet this burden of proof. Information for the legal segment of this podcast are taken from Construction Claims Advisor with the express permission of WP Publishing Company, Inc. And if you will check our show notes, you will find a special offer from Construction Claims Advisor, which I highly recommend. And now it's time for the safety section of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. One area of growing concern with regards to safety are the dangers during excavations. Construction employees face a series of dangers during the excavation process. These include cave-ins, toxic chemicals, lack of oxygen in a small space, and explosions and electrocutions. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA, requires employees to follow a set of trenching and excavation requirements concerning the sloping and shoring of a trench. The trench should be securely shored and to allow the worker a way to evacuate in the event of a cave-in. OSHA is reporting many companies violating these requirements, allowing employees to work in a trench that has the ability to completely bury them alive. For those involved in excavations, the fatality rate is 112% higher than the general construction industry workers' experience. Across the country, OSHA has conducted more than 1 million inspections. These include completed numbers of surprise inspections to make sure companies abide by their regulations. Unfortunately, not all companies are shaken by this revelation. I came across this recent news where one company was cited with 1 willful and 4 serious violations of federal workplace safety standards and has been issued penalties in the amount of $98,000. A worker died due to a fatal laceration while cutting pipe in a trench at a construction site. The willful citation was for failing to protect workers in an excavation from cave-ins. This is not the first time that the same company had been cited due to negligence for its employee safety. The investigation revealed there was failure to maintain equipment in a safe condition, failure to provide safe egress from a trench, failure to provide training, and unsafe operation of equipment near and under overhead power lines. A loss of life due to these conditions is absolutely unacceptable, and the $98,000 fine seems to be minuscule It is long past time for companies to make a serious commitment to making sure that their workers go home safe at the end of each work day. It is now time for the Construction Business Mastery Quick Tip. Last month, in our Quick Tip section, we had said that this month we were going to be putting out a survey that would assist you in determining whether your company was doing the things that it needed to do to survive in the fast-paced construction world that we live in today. Well, due to some technical difficulties, we were not able to get that survey completed in time for this podcast, so it will be coming out very soon. Instead, we decided to keep with our theme, getting back to the basics, and provide access to some very important tools that will make sure that your business is moving forward properly. The first is the introduction of a company called Incorp that can assist you and actually file all the paperwork you need for your company's incorporation or LLC formation and can give you advice as to which structures would be best for you. We have done a great deal of research on this company and have found them to be very reputable and very good at what they do. Everything can be done over the internet. And you don't have to pay expensive lawyers or CPAs to do your filings. Secondly, we have made arrangements with Intuit, the manufacturers of QuickBooks, and especially QuickBooks for Contractors, to be able to provide a 20% discount on the purchase of their product. As mentioned earlier in the podcast, we highly recommend QuickBooks for Contractors for your accounting needs. There will be links in the show notes for both Incorp and QuickBooks if you would like to make use of their services. Next month, we are going to continue with getting back to the basics, and we'll be focusing on your company's image and marketing capabilities. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Construction Business Mastery Podcast. And remember, don't hope you will succeed, plan for success.